Hello, and welcome to another wonderful episode of EcoJustice Radio. My name is JP Morris, and today we have an interview hosted by Carrie Kim. She'll be talking to Mikalani Young. Mikalani Young was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, and is a Kuma hula, a traditional hula teacher and culture practitioner. She later moved to California to teach about Hawaiian culture and the interconnectivity between people and nature. Mikalani advocates for our connections to Mother Earth, the water, and our kupuna, also known as ancestors, through chanting and dancing. She founded the LA movement to protect Moana Kea, defenders of Moana Kea, and has dedicated herself to uniting indigenous people globally for the sake of future generations. So let's get on with this wonderful interview. You're listening to EcoJustice Radio.
Aloha, my name is Carrie Kim, and we're here with Mikalani Young of Defenders of Mauna Kea. Mikalani Young was born in Honolulu, Hawaii, and is a kuma hula, an official hula teacher and cultural practitioner. I want to mention, in pre-contact times with foreigners and colonizers, Hawaiians had no written language. The entire history and culture was passed down orally, and was how Hawaiians related to each other, their gods and guardians, the lands, waters, and sacred sites. Language is memory. And one kumu stated it this way: the memory of certain individuals served as a library of the people, recalling an ancient saying that says, in the word there is life, in the word there is death. So before we begin, Mikalani, would you educate our listeners about Oli and why this is invoked?
Oli is our form of prayer. Oli is something we did all the time from as soon as the sun would set till come up, and then when the moon would come out. Everything was very important because it was our translation, our conversations, our prayers to our ancestors, our gods, and our God.
Would you like to open our interview with an Oli?
Sure. I'm going to explain what this chant is about. It's about an awakening. An awakening for everybody, whether we're in the spirit realm or in the human realm. Ele kahiki ku, ele kahiki moi, ele kea papa nu'u, ele kea papa lani, ea kaho ala noe kalani lae, ona ala papa, kula lani, ala iluna, ela oe.
Mahalo for that. I really appreciate you sharing the Oli because I think it's an important teaching opportunity for people and our listeners, because it's important for us to recognize that we don't always get to unilaterally decide, and maybe we usually shouldn't be deciding that we can do whatever we want, wherever we want, when we want. And for modern people, I think we often tend to act from this kind of, DIY arrogance. We've forgotten how to live in communion and communication with all of our living relatives and ancestors. So thank you for sharing the Oli. I'm wondering, the last time we had you on the show was right before the Hawaiian Supreme Court was reviewing testimonies for and against the building of the TMT telescope, the monumental 18-story, 30-meter telescope proposed to be built atop the most sacred mountain for Native Hawaiians and their culture. Deemed conservation lands, which is Mauna Kea. Could you tell us what is the latest news on Mauna Kea and the proposal of this telescope?
Yes. Just yesterday, back home in Hawaii, our people went into a hearing with the University of Hawaii against their proposed ideas of what we can and cannot do up on our sacred mountain. So right now, they've been given permission to revise those rulings or whatever they want to say that what we can and cannot do up on those mountains till February. So that's kind of where we're at. And I know that there is over 500 testimonies that were submitted against what they have originally had listed as what we can and can't do. For example, not being able to go up on our mountains to pray or to gather. So those are just basic things that we would do as Hawaiian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I was reading is that it's basically would have given UH, University of Hawaii, the unprecedented jurisdiction over the management of and access to Mauna Kea.
Right, right.
And so now,
they're trying to take full ruling over what we as the people can do, which, again, like you said, it's a conservation land, but it's also ceded land to us. Hawaiian people.
Can you explain what does that mean, ceded lands? Because a lot of people are not really familiar with really the whole state of Hawaiian sovereignty, and I think it's important for listeners to be educated on that.
Basically, ceded lands were given to us by our people before the so-called United States came into play. And that was, there's many ceded lands all over the islands that was directly given to the people. So that's basically what it means before America came in.
So
basically right now they're taken care of by what we call OHA, Office of Hawaiian Affairs. And so they're supposed to be helping to make decisions on what happens on our ceded land.
Mm-hmm. So they govern that. So these were, the ceded lands come from the Hawaiian kingdom, basically.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So can you explain further, because some people don't understand also with Hawaiian sovereignty that Hawaiians do not consider that they are part of America. Many Native Hawaiians do not consider. They consider themselves occupied.
So what do you want me to explain? That basically, yes, most of us consider ourselves part of the Hawaiian kingdom and not part of America. So many of us don't consider ourselves American because we are illegally occupied. There's actually documentation from our queen, and actually we've also had a apology bill that was in the 1990s where when Bill Clinton was president, apologized about what they did to our nation, our kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Could you speak about the queen? Because some people don't even know anything about the queen unless they've kind of gone into that history.
So the queen we're talking about is the last queen of Hawaii,
yeah.
Who was Queen Liliuokalani. Actually, even prior to her, Princess Kaʻiulani, her niece, went to speak to Cleveland, President Cleveland at that time. And when this fake republic came into play, this made-up republic that was made up by the American people, which was basically businessmen and men of the missions, they tried to make it so that they would take over. Well, when Princess Kaʻiulani went up to Washington, D.C., she spoke to Cleveland, and Cleveland denied anything that America was going to occupy Hawaii. Mm. Then President McKinley came into play, and President McKinley went in alignment with this republic, and that's how they occupied Hawaii. So actually everything was not done with, there's no treaty between us and America.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had treaties with many other nations, but not with America.
Mm-hmm. See, this is just an essential piece that a lot of people don't even realize, and people just take for granted that Hawaii is part of America, and they go there with that kind of understanding that it's a little bit of almost like an entitlement to, this is part of America, and I have a right to go there and be there and live there. And it's a bit mm-hmm. different if you understand and know the history, and especially if you're native to the lands.
But, yes.
We've been speaking a lot about the need for people to remember that they are indigenous to somewhere. And even if they are not native to the place that they've settled, they do belong somewhere on the earth, you know, in the land. And I was wondering if you could speak to that, and why is that important now?
Well, with everything that I do and everywhere I'm so blessed to go into different nations, and I live currently on Tongva lands. We know that people have been displaced for whatever reason. And I know part of it is, and I'm just going to say this boldly, because America went in and occupied their space and when they shouldn't have. And so people end up coming here to the First Nation people's lands here, so-called America. And so I know as years go by, what happens is the families just get displaced, and so they they don't know who they are ancestrally. So I think it's important that each person find out who they are ancestrally and learn more about their ancestors' lands. And I always teach this to my students, that find out where you come from, because when you understand where you come from and what your people did, you're going to have more compassion, respect for the First Nations people's land they are currently on. And when we do that, we understand the respect of the people, and we should be standing with the people for mm-hmm. their lands, their waters, because we are partaking of those things.
Yeah.
So indigenously, everybody's indigenous. We just have been displaced for many reasons, and I can definitely say because of war and greed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's important because people don't even recognize or often speak about how the people who arrived in America arrived from. I mean, they were coming from certain kind of religious persecution. They were coming from, say, for example, the Irish, coming off of famine mm-hmm. and starvation. And so there's a long history of how people also ended up here. They were fleeing desperate situations
right.
as well. And so it's important to look into that history and to acknowledge it and heal from that. And then I think that's how we move forward. But it also...
Right.
points to a lot of how people end up. I wonder if you could speak to the distinction between cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation. Because part of what I see happens is a lot of people are displaced, they're disconnected from their ancestors, and it becomes a little bit of a free-for-all, or they seek some kind of place where culture still exists. So can you speak to that distinction between cultural appropriation and cultural appreciation?
Yeah, well, I hope I explained this well enough. So like cultural misappropriation is when someone takes someone else's culture and has no information, no background, no training, no giving permission. For example, I always like to use this example. Like, I know on Tongva land, they do not use drums.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe another nation uses drums.
Mm-hmm.
And then another nation, maybe the women do not drum. So if you don't understand those things and actually been given permission, and I am going to say given permission mm-hmm. by the First Nation people of those lands, then you're culturally misappropriating their drums. And again, I know I've been told by Auntie Gloria, who's an elder of the nation, that drums wasn't their thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're playing drums and you're a woman, I mean, first of all, there's no women or men who play drums.
Mm-hmm.
And do you actually even know what that drum's used for? So I understand that people are searching and looking for some type of spirituality, identity. And that's why when you go back to your own culture, you can find out what your people did and learn about it. Go and embrace that. And bring that to the table to share. And when you do that, then there's that respect you can have for each other's cultures, mm-hmm. where we're not going to try to force or try to take someone else's culture when you have no understanding of what that actual drum is used for.
Mm-hmm.
So like my nation, women can use drums, but we don't have the exact same drums.
Mm-hmm.
But again, then you have to learn. I know in Hawaiian culture, a lot of people misappropriate our culture.
Mm-hmm.
They have no understanding what the drum's for or what the hula's for or why is that motion there or why do we do that motion or what's the intention. It's always hula's, and I can pretty much speak, they feel like I can speak for most people, nations, that a lot of our dances and our chants and our songs are prayerful. So what is your intention? What are you using it for? So
mm-hmm.
I can go back to the First Nations people of those lands and have an understanding, and don't just think you can take that instrument and hit on it
right.
and think you're doing it the same thing.
Yeah, or think you know anything prematurely, that's for sure.
Yes.
You know, I want to go back to something that Kumupua case, she is one of the foremost protectors of Mauna Kea, and one of the things she said was, remember at all times that the Mauna is as our Akua, Amakua, Kupuna, Ali'i, Alaka'i, Kia'i, and our mountain is sacred. Can you explain what she means? Because for people who are not living with the land or don't have a direct relationship with the land and their ancestors, they may not know what it means to belong to a mountain.
So what she's talking about, so Mauna Kea, basically, so she said it's our God. It's our royalty. It's our mama. Mm-hmm. We heed what she says. She is our ancestor. So that means whatever she says, that we honor her. Whatever she calls and asks us to do, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. We as Hawaiians have a really infinite and deep respect and love for our aina, our land, and our waters, and we understand that when we have that relationship with them, they respond back to us, but they are our ancestors, our kupuna. That's what she said. One of the words she said was kupuna. Mm-hmm. And we understand that when our ancestors were on our land, they took care of it, and they became the water. They mm-hmm. became the earth. They became our ancestors. I mean, like our aumakua, which are like we believe, like from my aumakua, one of my aumakua is a pueo, which is an owl. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have a love and respect for everything, because our people who passed on before us have become part of this. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't you honor a place if that's our family?
Exactly. I mean, she makes a clear distinction. You know, also she said, you know, we are Mauna Kea and we are still here. Mm-hmm. So it's very different than,
right.
You know, it's not separate. It's something that...
No.
Yeah, we are.
Because it's like my mom is going to always be my mom. Mm-hmm. My grandma will always be my grandma. Whether my grandmother is no longer here. She's already transitioned. But my grandmother is still part of the land. She is still part of the water.
Mm-hmm.
She's still part of everything. So we honor the earth, the waters, the way our aunts, my grandmother would, my great-grandmother would, and it goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
We are all still part of it. I mean, think about it. When most of us transition, a lot of people put them either in the earth or in the water,
mm-hmm.
or wherever they have them. You know what I mean? But they're still part of the environment.
Yeah, and then you move through the environment differently when you understand that your relatives are everywhere.
You know, right.
In the land and the waters.
Hawaiians, the elementals are very important. They're part of our ancestors too.
Yeah, it's going back to animism where everything is living. Mm-hmm. I don't think anyone would argue that we live in turbulent times, and there's a great deal of consternation and insistence around rights. And underlying protection of rights seems to be a lot of underlying trauma and heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a sign of sort of the repercussions from missionization, colonization, and assimilation. And mm-hmm. because so many are immigrants, whether by choice or forced displacement, as we talked about, they're no longer connected to their homelands and the ancestors. And I'm wondering, what do you feel is the birthright of Hawaiians?
What is the birthright of Hawaiians?
Yeah.
Kumupua
spoke about that. Kumupua just mentioned that about the birthright of Hawaiians, and I was wondering what could have been meant by that.
If she's referring to Mauna Kea, this is how I feel. This is how I look at it. Like, Hawaii is our kuleana. Kuleana means responsibility. Every single nation, like, if I'm going to go even deeper, like the ethnicities, whatever ethnicity you are, you are responsible for your land. Now, I guess if you've been displaced, so now you need to take the responsibility of the land you're on, but you cannot forget where your piko, where your hanao, where your ancestral birthplace is.
Mm-hmm.
You have a responsibility to take care of that place. Mm-hmm. That is your birthright.
Mm.
And that's what I feel like she's saying, or if not, I'm adding to it, but yeah. Hawaii is our birthright. Hawaii is what we need to take care of our mm-hmm. part in the world.
Yeah, it's really...
So Tonga has their land, mm-hmm. and so on and so on and so on.
It seems more, when we say it that way, it sounds more like privilege and honor, really. It's that opportunity to do
right.
that in reciprocity instead of right
yes.
the way we hear about something that, you know, we're going to insist upon. you know,
yeah.
And then, you know, who rightfully has it? Because, you know, there, so many Hawaiians are mixed heritage, right? We know there's Chinese, there's Japanese, there's Portuguese. There's so many different ethnicities that have ended up in the islands over the years. And, you know, who we have these issues and conflicts around authenticity and who's truly mm-hmm. native. And these things, when people speak about blood quantum and these, it gets insane. And, you know, there tends to be almost an insidious kind of racism that develops, that someone is more pure, mm-hmm. pure race than another. And it, you know, what are your feelings around that?
You know, as Hawaiian people, if you're Hawaiian, we don't go by blood quantum. The only people that brought that up are the people who occupied this place, these mm-hmm. lands of the First Nations people of America.
Yeah.
And so I really feel that when you do blood quantum, mm-hmm. you actually they're trying to segregate us.
Mm-hmm.
And segregation is not good. It doesn't bring unity. So if you Hawaiian, you Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. If you have other ethnicities, right on. Mm-hmm. More power to you. You know, but appreciate and love the different ethnicities you are.
Yeah.
Embrace them. But, you know, of course, some of us, we will identify with one more than the other, especially if we were born there.
Mm-hmm.
Or if our families, even if they were born here on the continent, on Mokuhonu, Turtle Island, mm-hmm. then if their families still practice Hawaiian culture, they will have an infinite love for their culture, no matter what. But they will, us as Hawaiians, we do recognize the different ethnicities we have, and we embrace those. We don't ever shy away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've seen the difference here where, and I am going to talk about, you know, that's why for us, Hawaii, we do not want to be, we're not a tribe. We are a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
We're all one. When you start separating us, we don't want to ever be noticed, recognized as a tribe. And we all stand together as one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, go ahead. Sorry.
I wanted to ask you, you've been speaking about, I on your Facebook page recently, I saw a post, and it was from Defenders of Mauna Kea, and it said, one culture, one people, one unity. How are you working toward this?
Well, you know, because of what I do, I believe in being connected to my culture. And in our culture, you know, it's about unity. And the way I'm doing it is ancestors. My ancestors are guiding me. And it's been such a beautiful journey to make sure that I'm practicing my protocols, respecting the First Nations people, respecting the land that they come from, and standing with them. I feel like that's my kuleana, my responsibility.
Can you speak about some of the First Nations that you're actively aligning with? I know you've been working with a lot of First Nations in California. Do you want to speak
sure.
about some of those partnerships,
alignments,
well, let me see. Allyships?
Yeah, so I always say I live on Tongva land, a.k.a. Los Angeles, and then the Hashiman.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the Kumeyaay, who are down in AKA San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
The Paiute Nation, which is Lone Pine or, you know, going up to Yosemite. Of course, the Winnemem-Wintu Nation up at Mount Shasta. And let's see, Pomo Nation, that is Santa Rosa area.
And you're going
and
to
I
be.
I know there's more that I'm connected to.
And you're going to be doing some events around Run for Salmon, correct?
Yes, correct. So next year I'll be doing. I've spoken to Chief and told her that I would take care of the Southern California contingent. And what's happening is I'm respectfully asking if different nations wouldn't mind hosting the Run for Salmon, but it's not just about the salmon. It's about the water, which is everyone's water.
Mm-hmm.
And if people don't know, all our water comes from Mount Shasta and Paiute Nation. And I'm also I've already asked the Paiute Nation if they would come on board. I'd like them to be a part of it. But what we're doing is trying to get each nation to host it. I mean, I'm asking them if they would host the Run for Salmon, bringing their different people who can speak about what's going on in their lands, but also using the gifts and the arts from our cultures to educate about each nation mm-hmm. to the people who attend these events.
And Run for Salmon. And so, can you just share briefly? Run for Salmon is connected with the Win 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 too. And Chief Kayleen, I think some people, we've had her on the show before, but some people may not have heard that show.
Okay. So Run for Salmon, I'm doing a pre-Run for Salmon event to fundraise for the actual Run for Salmon that happens up north. So I'm starting it in the spring, and what we're doing is educating everybody about from Mount Shasta, the water. So let me explain, sorry. Winnemowintun Nation is where our waters come from. We're going to be talking about Run for Salmon. Mm-hmm. And the salmon comes all the way down to Kumi Island, a.k.a. San Diego, and makes its way back to Mount Shasta every year. And so I thought it was just beautiful to ask each nation to be part of this pre-information and unity amongst the Winnemowintun Nation, but everybody's nation. And then with Kumi Island, they could speak about their what's going on in their nation and how can we unify as one? Because we're going to find at the end of the day, we're all going through the same things. Mm.
I think it's a beautiful thing. And I would definitely, your Kuleana is working with, you know, unifying the indigenous peoples and then also bringing on, and as we have said, that doesn't just mean people who are native to the lands. This is people, indigenous peoples of all kinds. And, you know, at the events that you've been at, there have been people of every kind of stripe and color and creed. And it's very important for us all to be working toward the cause of humanity and the continuance of life on Earth.
Right.
So
yes, and I agree. Go ahead.
Can you tell us how people can stay in contact with you, Mikilani, around supporting Mauna Kea and issues of the Hawaiian people and Run for Salmon and these other things you're involved with?
Yes, and I would love for I welcome every single person to be a part of whatever we're doing because it really, at the end of the day, it's about all of us. But we all need the earth and we all need the water. But the way you can get a hold of me is through either Defenders of Mauna Kea, mm-hmm. Or you can also get
on Facebook.
Yeah. Or also...
Oh, Defenders of Mauna Kea.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Defenders of Mauna Kea. And you can also get a hold of me on Facebook through Mikilani Young.
So listeners, please stay in contact with Mikilani. Stay attuned with what she's doing because it is important for us all to unify together and know that... The divisiveness is not going to get us where we want to go and achieve what we want to achieve as far as protecting Mother Earth and leaving land sacred for future generations. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mikilani. We hope to have you back on the show. We can speak more about the nonprofit you're establishing around this unification with Indigenous peoples and supporting Mother Earth and education of the youth. So thank you so much. Mahalo, listeners, for being with us, and Mikilani Young of Defenders of Mauna Kea. Tune in next time.
And that is it for our show. Thank you for tuning into Eco Justice Radio. I want to thank Mikilani for coming onto the show. Eco Justice Radio is brought to you by SoCal 350 and KPFK. Executive producer Mark Morris, interview hosted by Carrie Kim, and original music by Javier Cadre. My name is JP Morrison. Until next time, remember, the power is yours.